You're listening to The Training Dummies.
Greetings, my name is
Rob.
And this is Sister
Daryl.
Do you have some spare time to talk about it? Here, take this pamphlet. Oh, hello?
Greetings and welcome to episode 170 of The Training Dummies, recorded on July 24th, 2017. And yes, my name is Sister Daryl, and with me as always is Rob.
That was amazing.
I know, that was so good.
That's one of my favorite ones ever.
Yeah, we're having fun with these now. We're starting to get a little more creative and have a little more fun. But anyways, as the intro said, I do want to talk to you about Elune. So to help us do that tonight, let's give a big Training Dummies welcome to our guest, Ella Rain. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Very good. Very good. Glad to be back recording a regular show. And glad to have you on here, Eth, as well.
Like it feels like it's been a while, huh?
It has been a little while. I think the last one was a Hearthstone episode, if you can believe it.
Well, I know that we have we reached out to Ella Rain like a very long time ago, maybe even like over a year, 2 years. I don't even know how long it was. And whatever happened, life got in the way, rating, all that stuff. But when this we had the idea to do this new series about the class specific lore and what's been going on in this expansion, I thought that she would be a super good person to help us talk about that. And part of that is due to a little bit of what she does. So maybe Elrond, if you can tell us a little bit about your background and who you are and what you do in gaming.
Yes. You reached out to me right around the time I got hired at Blizzard Watch, and we were just never really able to schedule it because of my reading schedule. But I've been playing a priest since Wrath. I started playing shortly before the start of Wrath back in Burning Crusade, and priest was really kind of the first class I really meshed with. I leveled it to 80. I've always been a healing priest. I've always done Holy and Disc, and then I've just been very passionate about the class because it just kind of fit right, I guess, more than other classes. And then 2 years ago, Blizzard Watch kind of reformed and we're looking for priest riders. And so I applied when they put out the open call and got hired as the healing priest rider there.
I do believe the 2 years ago, because I just looked back at my DMs on Twitter, and yeah, it was May 2015. So yeah, it's been a little while.
That sounds about right.
Yep. Yikes.
That's a pretty pretty awesome opportunity to work with the crew over there. I know we've had a few folks. We've had Anne and Matthew Rossi. And in fact, he's going to be joining us again later this week to talk about the Warrior stuff. But how do you like working with those guys? Is it like as cool as it sounds? Or
it's definitely as cool as it sounds. They're great.
Yeah, I figured. Yeah.
Well, should we get into the main content here then?
I think so. I think this is going to be super cool. I don't know. Did we this whole new series that we're doing? It, I guess, are we calling it Stay Classy? I don't even know.
I think so. I think that's what we kind of decided on.
So what we want to do is kind of break down each class and what's been going on in Legion and what's been going on. Well, I don't know. Before we get into that, I guess, do you want to do the bumper?
Sure, I can do that. We didn't record a new one last time, so I pulled an oldie but a goodie out.
Yeah,
this is
I don't want to over-explain everything.
Or Two Tongues, or Taylor, from The Training Dummies. And you're listening to The Training Dummies with Rob and Daryl.
If you guys have any questions or comments, want to find out what we're doing, we are active on Twitter. The show is at Training Dummies. I'm at Rob Copeland, and Daryl is at Daryl _TTD. And, okay, back to what I was saying. The good stuff. like, what's been going on in this expansion? There's been a crap ton of story, and they've kind of really broken it out into very class specific stuff. So it's not just about the NPCs and what's going on. It's really about who we are as players and what we're doing to help further the cause and fight the Legion and help Illidan. So we're going to start off with priests, and Ella Rain is going to help us figure that out here. So if we maybe want to just start from the top, maybe like leading into Legion, what was the deal with priests going into this expansion? Did they have a special role or anything with some of the key characters?
We didn't really have anything in particular, I guess, because there haven't really been many. I mean, there are some notable priests, but nothing really outside of that. They were notable because of the people they were, not because of their class. So priests have always just kind of been there in the background, which, I mean, I guess fits priests as well, because they started out as clerics in Northshire. And nothing really leading up too much. And that's kind of one of my gripes with the priest campaign, is that we didn't really feel like we were making a difference. We were just kind of there. And it wasn't until I started leveling a shaman that I realized how different the campaign was. Like, we kind of start out going, even on beta, back when they had beta, they were kind of all over the place. They were calling us, like, a lot of the disc priest talents were modeled after Catholicism and popes. And even our title was modeled after Catholicism, and then they switched it to high priest. And so it just kind of takes you out of there, because they didn't really have a unifying theme yet.
Is there a unifying theme now for priests then?
There is not, because we are so different. I've talked about this before, how priests are very, very different. Like, you know, the mages have the Kirin Tor, the paladins have the Silver Hand, druids mm-hmm. have the Cenarian Circle. They are all unified above their race, and priests are very different. They are unified within their race and a little bit out, but nothing really more than that. Like, the dwarves and the humans and the gnomes and maybe the blood elves, they all worship the light. The night elves worship a loom. The forsaken are the cult of shadow. They would not be holy or disc in lore. And then the trolls worship the Loa, the Tauren worship the sun. So if we went purely by gameplay, we would not even have a priest class. They're just too different.
So going from warlords into legion, then, so what happened that kind of branched out into the priest story then? So we get to, you know, we do the legion invasion. That was the same thing, or the Broken Shore scenario, the opening. That was the thing that kind of led us into Legion and Dalaran, where it is now. So what kind of kickstarted the priest story that pushed them off into their own?
We received a summons from a hooded priest or priestess, and it took us out to Tirisfal Glades. And when we get there, who but Alonzas Fale and Kalia Menethil are waiting. And no one knew that Kalia Menethil was a priest. And so that was quite a surprise. And so you meet up with Alonzas. He's like, we need help. You know, there's a new threat. We're trying to get the team back together. We're going to go do this. And that's when you choose your artifact. So some classes set up the class hall and then do the artifact. With priests, they choose their artifact and then set up the class hall. And that kind of sparks it off. You go, you choose whatever artifact, you go in that direction for a bit, then you come back. And they actually take you to this temple out in Legion territory that was housing a Void Naru. And it was basically that Naru's prison. And then at the culmination of that kind of little quest chain, you purify the Naru and turn it into a setup for your priest order to arrive. And then you start recruiting priests from the various faiths throughout Azeroth.
So that's how you kind of start the official, like, I'm a priest. Here's what I'm doing that's different than the other folks. What was the piece of the story that actually led into, like, the order hall? Like, how did that location and that process work?
That was, it was kind of a callback, because Alonzas Fale, he was the one who created the Paladin Order. So it was kind of odd to see him there. And he was raised by the Scarlet Crusade. So now he's back as a priest to help your priest class. And Tirisfal Glades was kind of a callback to all the stuff that happened with Lord Aron, and very interesting to go back to that specific location, which had been taken over by the Forsaken.
Daryl, you said you haven't seen any of the priest stuff this expansion so far.
No, I have not. It's on my bucket list. I just need...
Dude, it's so good. Like, I think their class hall is one of the coolest looking ones.
So where is their...
I think I have all of them. It's one of their. It's one of my favorite.
Yeah. So where is their class hall then? Because I don't even know that. Like, I really know nothing of the priest story so far. This expansion. So all this that you're telling me is new to me and interesting.
the priest hall is, I'm not actually sure specifically where it is. It says it's in the Twisting Nether. And when, in the middle of the campaign, when you go to the Paladins, they actually talk about how dangerous it is to go there because it's supposedly deep within Legion territory.
Really?
So we are floating in a temple out in the Twisting Nether somewhere.
You get a little bit of that like later on in the story, I think. Like, I think we'll get to some of the other stuff here in a little bit. I don't want to ruin it yet. So once you unlock your order hall and you go in, kind of walk me through that. Then what, you know, I know like basically every class, what they do is they go in and, you know, they meet some folks and decide where they're going to start questing from. What's the deal with the, do you meet anybody cool or have to do anything cool, before you start the artifact stuff?
So you recruit both Kalia Benethil and High Priestess Ashana. And High Priestess Ashana was, I think she was with the Aldor back in Shattrath. So it was kind of cool seeing her. They are both healing classes, or healing priests, rather. Kalia is Disc and Ashana is Holy. So you start out with two healing followers, even for Shadow Priests. And then you start, you know, spreading the word out to the various priests in Azeroth. And so slowly your class hall starts filling up with grand priests, hex priests, sun priests, grand blood elf priestesses. And so each, you know, sister of the light, each faith slowly makes their way to your temple. And then you start, you know, as it goes on, you relieve the front lines. There's a gnome out in, because there are two side places, side rooms in your priest hall. One has the Naru and is filled with a bunch of golden light and light spawns. The other side has an altar that looks really cool. It's bedecked in thousands of candles. And there's a gnome who is whispering nonsense. And Alonzus is prepared to just write him off as a gnome who went crazy from too much shadow. Mm-hmm. But Felin wants you to look into it. And Felin actually has a vision where he kind of sees the demons attacking, and he's talking about how, you know, there's the priests are going to fall to the demons. That's their fate. They're doomed to die to the Dreadlords. And then he sees a path that leads to victory, and there's the high priest who's going to help them. And then he says, an old enemy becomes an ally. Forgotten shadows rise. All unite under the light. So that leads you to the Scarlet Crusade, where you recruit a follower from there. And that's another disciplined priest. And then Forgotten Shadows, you go and find the spirit of Natalie Selene, who was the one who founded the Cult of Forgotten Shadow. And then once you unite them under the light, that's when the threat kind of culminates and the demons take notice of you and figure out where you are, and that's when they plan the attack on the temple.
So that happens later on though, right? That doesn't happen like kind of in the opening or
that's the end. A lot of it's just there's a lot of mission related quests that kind of gate it a little longer than other priests or other class campaigns.
Yeah, I noticed a couple of them seem like they ran into like, you know, where you had to do a little more mission table stuff, or I don't know. I like the flavor, you know, not every single class is exactly the same, that you do have a different story and a little bit different progression. Why don't you talk a little bit about the artifacts? Then you could start off whichever one you want, though. Talk about how those tie in and the story behind those.
The artifacts are very interesting because they most priests are known for their powers rather than what weapon they carry, unlike Ashbringer. And so Blizzard created three new artifacts. And the first one I chose was the Holy One. And that was Turay, Beacon of the Naru. And that artifact belonged to the Draenei when they were, long before they escaped, when they were escaping. They used it to help them escape, and it was lost when they were overpowered, when the priestess who was holding it decided to sacrifice herself and hold off as many demons as possible to let her people escape. And that's when it was lost. And then when you pick up the quest, you hear from one of the Draenei from the Roken Shore, who had been tortured and supposedly seen it, and talked to someone who had seen it. And so you go off chasing after this holy artifact, and you eventually find it in the hands of an Eredar, and that's when you take it back. And then the discipline staff, which didn't really make as much sense to me as it could, because Blizzard chose the same kind of paths for multiple classes, mm-hmm. it followed the same path as Arcane Mages. And so when you go and search for both of these staves, you go, the story is it was too powerful and it was locked away in the Nexus, which makes a lot of sense for an Arcane Mage. But it doesn't make sense for something that the Scarlet Crusade has. So the story behind right. that is inspired by the Rhett Paladin weapon, which the name escapes me, even though I just said it.
Ashbringer?
Yes, Ashbringer. They take the crystal and they try and do the same with the staff, except one of the Dreadlords, who was disguised as a Scarlet Crusade member, kind of messed up the ritual, and they didn't purify it right. So it's prone to exploding. And while it was very potent against the undead, stories follow its path through all the catastrophes that happened. And, you know, those are mentioned in the book that you get with your artifact knowledge about. They would just find the remains of where the staff had been rather than who was carrying it. And so eventually it was deemed too dangerous and the Blue Dragonflight went and locked it up in the Nexus Vault. And when you go there, it's about to explode again and only you have the power to finally control it. And that's also kind of the reason it has a damage buff is after, you know, so many casts, it, when you're just questing along or doing whatever, it builds a hidden buff and eventually you get a proc called Overloaded with Light, which does massive damage.
I like it though.
It's very fun when you're fighting boss.
Nice.
And so, then the...
Just one quick question here. So I know there's some story with the artifact knowledge and I really should read my own for the Warlocks. I still haven't bothered to do that. But is there a story for each of the artifacts there? And how much is there? Like, I haven't actually done this myself to read that. I just know there's story there. But does it relate to all the artifacts? Or is there one story for each?
There is. I'm scrolling through it right now. There are 11 parts for each weapon. And they're, you know, 3 to 4 paragraphs long.
Okay.
So yeah, they're weapon specific. Like every single one has a. If you go and talk to the little artifact trainer,
yeah,
knowledge
yeah.
guy, yeah.
So this,
that book or whatever.
So the story you get to read is based on the artifact you have currently equipped. Is that how it works?
Or you can see just, all of them.
Oh, you can see all of them all the time. Okay. Okay, I really need to do that on my own. But okay. I think you're jumping into Shadow then. The Shadow artifact.
The final artifact is the claw of, I'm not sure if it's an old god or, let's see, it's Xalatath, Blade of the Black Empire, and she talks to Shadow Priests. She's very creepy, very yeah. interesting.
No, the weapon is?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's cool. I it want mine to talk to
some,
me.
Dude, it's cool, but it talks some crazy nonsense to you.
And nice. The lore implications are fascinating. And so, okay, so Xalatath is the claw of Yashiraj, and that was the old god who was ripped from Azeroth and caused Azeroth to be wounded, and that's why they no longer kill old gods. And so Xalatath has, you know, passed from hand to hand. She kind of corrupts whoever holds her with whispers. Trolls have held her throughout history. She finally came to the wife of Thorasan, the dwarf, before Moira married him. Modgood was her name. And what's very interesting about that is in one of the Cata dungeons, I believe it's Grim Batol, a blue weapon drops off of one of the bosses that is actually called Modgood's Blade. And it's supposed to be this weapon, which they probably didn't plan when they did that. But she was the one who most recently held that, and she used it during the Dark Iron and Wildhammer battle in Grim Batol. And then eventually she lost it. And it says, as quoted, she had lost her cherished weapon, or as some would claim, the weapon had abandoned her. And so the blade kind of has a mind of its own. And then it was taken up by Natalie Selene, who used it for a while. And then Natalie Selene was actually murdered by her followers who wanted to keep the blade for themselves. And then it was just kind of lost to history. And Shadow Priests eventually recover it in, I believe it's Tyr's tomb, which is where a paladin and I believe a warrior go and do their artifact chains as well. And there's actually a time frame for each of those. I forget which one is in order, but I believe that Shadow Priests are the last to find the tomb.
I didn't realize that, because I've done those, and I guess it didn't register with me that you were going in there, like, you know, because there's stuff that happens in there, so I didn't really think about, like, who went in there first or what happened. So I know, I believe it's Holy Pallies, and I want to say Arms Warriors go in there.
That sounds about right.
And so... So Shadow Priests then they're the last ones out of everyone to go in there. Does that mean that everything that the other specs went in and did, the other classes, like, that happened first then?
Mm-hmm. And when they go in, the Twilight Cultists are trying to raise someone. It's been a while since I did it, but basically you fight the Twilight Cultists in there.
Oh, wait, I remember that. Okay, so I did do the Holy Paladin weapon. Now in Tyr, when you said Tyr, I didn't register who you're talking about. Yeah. T-Y-R, Tyr, him. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now it's making more sense about what you're talking about. Okay, yeah.
So with that, I hate to say it, but I think that Shadow one's probably the most interesting one.
It is, because of the lore implications.
Yeah, so because what, the other ones, it's like a cool staff or whatever, but the Shadow one is like, it's crazy.
So what are the lore implications, or did you touch on those already, and I just missed it?
Not in specifics. I need to pull up her whispers because she is.
I was going to ask you about that because I know that there's like some kind of funny stuff that can happen too. Like if you talk to Odin after you run that dungeon and stuff.
One thing that she talks about when you first enter Suramar, she goes, "The city of the elves pales in comparison to the sleeping city." And she's talking about Nyalotha, where N'Zoth is sleeping. And then she goes, "Suramar, it's," and this is in quotes, "noble citizens greedily slurping at the world's very lifeblood." And those are the first hints about Azeroth the Titan.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Cool.
Never even thought about that.
And she talks about, "I long for the day our masters can truly pass into this realm." And also, "Do the Naro speak of the eternal conflict, that the entire history of your world is but a fraction of the time that has passed of those that came before the Draenei? No?" And she chuckles.
And okay, that's some weird stuff.
The most interesting one is, I was never able to get it to work, but when you kill Xavius in Emerald Nightmare, when you go into that cave and through the back, she talks about that orb that's in the back.
Yeah, that little purple kind of... So the swirly thing.
There's an orb in a cave in Emerald Nightmare.
Yeah, dude, remember, was it Ysera? Is it Ysera walking around?
Oh, yeah, I know. I know that.
Yeah, there's that weird cave, and you can follow her back there. And
oh, I don't know if I did that then. I just started walking around and let it be at that. Okay. See, there's so much in this game I don't do. So much cool stuff. See, that's why we have these lore-focused shows like this, where I can learn all this stuff that I'm missing in game by just playing it. Because I miss a lot. I really do.
So if you... I don't know if this is right or not. So if I'm off base, I apologize. But I thought I remember something about if you kill or do the Odin fight in the Halls of Valor dungeon, it like tries to tell you to go talk to him afterwards.
It does, actually. I remember something about that. And, oh, she tells you to ask about Helya. He gets mad, and I believe he kills you.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. He's like, nice. What did he say?
That's awesome. Oh, that's sweet.
So the blade is completely just trolling you.
That is awesome. Well, now I want to level my priest just to do that.
There's some really cool stuff in there.
Oh, I found it. Odin was a great enemy until his own arrogance proved his undoing. You should ask him if he's considered Loken's final words to him. Go ahead.
Sweet.
And so if you actually go and talk to Odin, he tells you what he thinks. So how important do you think I don't want to focus too much on the Shadow One because it seems like we could just go off on that for a while. But so how important do you think that is to what? Because it seems like anybody who's had that weapon has kind of been screwed in the long run. So do you think it's weird that that we have all these crazy super powerful weapons and we're just running around kind of like, you know, chucking whatever we have into them, not even really knowing, you know, we have no idea what this artifact power is, like what we're powering up, what we're doing.
During Alpha, the flavor text was, do not put your faith in the Black Blade. It will deceive you. It will not be controlled. And they changed it.
Why? That sounds like it fits pretty well.
It would fit. A little too obvious, I guess.
Yeah, maybe. So was there anything about any of the artifact things that really just, you know, that really stuck out to you that kind of you thought gave the very priest-specific flavor?
The Holy One, I guess, kind of resonates with me the most because, you know, the last wielder of that staff sacrificed herself to help her people escape. And that's really what's at Holy's essence. Like, Holy helps people. Mm-hmm. You know, they, even their spells, Serenity, Sanctify, Guardian Spirit, mm-hmm. whereas Discipline is harsher, Penance, Pain Suppression, stuff like that. So, you know, saving your allies is a very holy thing to do, and that weapon is kind of the essence of priest, I guess, but it still falls a little flat because it's this unheard of weapon. It's not even, I'm a human priest. I have no connection with the Naru or Draenei, and I'm in a Draenei temple wielding a Draenei artifact, and it just feels too strange to me.
I was going to ask you what would make you play a fantasy game and then play a human, but I don't know if that's
I used to be a blood elf.
See, yeah, like, that's cool.
Because it's awesome. Horde, and that's better.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, there's that,
that's
too.
A whole other.
I went human because I liked the way she looked. That's right. What drives me.
Yeah, aesthetic is important.
I understand that. Transmogs are important, too.
Very important.
All right.
Yeah. Yep, we did a whole PSA on transmog anxiety. So
that was awesome. All right, so where are we at now here in the story of priests? We did their artifacts.
So you got your artifact weapon, and then I think for most of the order halls, like from there, well, I guess this maybe starts at, 102 when the whole Exodar scenario happens, and they kind of have you get the thing. What's it called?
Light's Heart.
Yeah, Light's Heart. I was going to say Light's Hope, but I know that wasn't right. So Light's Heart, is there anything cool with the priest stuff? Is that when it starts kind of tying you into Illidan at all? Or?
That I've noticed that different classes have different animations when they deactivate those portals. And the priest one was very glowy, and it just kind of felt cool, I guess, in a sense. Like, I felt very immersed running around, getting rid of all this fel, saving the Draenei. Felt very heroic from a priest perspective. And that kind of, there wasn't really any, I guess, Illidan specific story with Light's Heart. Zara's kind of a jerk to you and tells you that it's all your fault that you killed him, but it's okay because you didn't know better, but you should do better next time.
That sounds a little harsh.
She's not very nice to us. And my friend plays a demon hunter. He's like, oh, that's not what it was like for me at all. She was just like, it's okay. You guys couldn't have helped it. We'll make it better.
Yeah, the demon hunter
that's
stuff,
awesome.
Man, I love it. But like, the demon hunter stuff is funny. It's just like, yeah, you're very much like, I don't know. You got this hot topic edgelord, like just running around being emo, talking. I don't recall if all the other classes do this or not, but like, you straight up like talk to Illidan a couple of times in your order hall, like through the little crystal thing. He, you know, send me some messages, and I don't recall if the priest one does that or not. Do you know?
No, we don't really even see Illidan until basically when you revive him.
So who then? Okay, so I'm wondering then if and yes, I've played through all these. I just can't remember. So I'm wondering if then who who's like a key NPC then that kind of helps you walk through the priest campaign?
Alonzus is basically the one who kind of organizes everything. Moira's also here, and Velen used to be here, but he's not hanging out anymore, probably since he got pissed off about Argus. But Alonzus was the key NPC that was doing everything, so much that when you sent him out on missions, you could no longer turn in quests to him. And they fixed that by handing off the quest to Moira instead.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
sounds like
that's rough.
Sounds like that was not intentional. All right, so what's the big thing that happens then kind of after you get your artifact and you start and you get leveled up, you get to you start progressing through the story. What happens next?
You kind of branch out into, like I said, like the different factions. You go and check out the Scarlet Crusade and you find a priest who is being persecuted by her own order. And that is Mariella Ward. And you rescue her, you take her back, and then you go find Natalie Selene's spirit and make her a corporal again and bring her back. And then you find Sol, who is a light spawn, and bring him back. And then, of course, you also find Zabra, a shadow troll priest, and Yalia from Missa Pandaria, who is a holy priest. And once you have them, then you kind of, you go out kind of looking into Velen's vision. You go to the Eye of Ashara to look through the lens. You go to Halls of Valor. You go and sift through demonic runes, find more troops. And then that's when you kind of fall into the main line where you realize that the Burning Legion is going to attack your temple. And all they've been waiting to do is figure out where it is and where Velen is.
So that's the... No, is that at that point, are you 110 or are you...
Yes, you are 110 when these quests are happening.
So all the other the folks that you were talking about, those end up being your followers then, right?
Mm-hmm. And those are also at 110. Mariella and Natalie Selene are at 110. Sol, the light spawn, is earlier than that.
I thought I remember I wanted Sol because I knew he could be... I kept seeing people with him as their companion, bodyguard,
yeah.
Calling him, but yeah. I kept seeing him, but then I couldn't get him until later, so I wasn't sure what, like, if I was missing something, but I think he was like one of the later ones that you got.
Yeah, I remember getting him later. It says the quest is available at 103, but there might be some weird gating where you had to do things in a certain order, and I just didn't do those until later.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, so you get to the point where you've done all that. Does any of the priest stuff, the story or the Order Hall stuff, does that actually send you specifically into any of the raids?
Not into the raids. You do go to that demon world Niskara, where paladins, of course, go because their campaigns kind of converge, but. Warlocks actually also go there searching for their proof that their follower has been around.
Gotcha.
And that's that's when you find the plans that prove that they are about an attack is imminent on your temple. And that's also when, because one of the missions, your priest follower Delis Moonfang is very eager to go out, and she goes to the paladins, recruits a couple of them to go have adventures, and they get captured. And when you go to Niskara, you have to rescue them. And she was so traumatized by being there that she specifically tells you, my education was incomplete. I'm going to go be a paladin now. Thanks.
Ouch. You're like, wait a minute.
Wow, that's rough.
So was she one of your followers?
She wasn't a follower per se, but she was... She was an NPC who would do quests, and you would send out the mission with her.
All right. I think it's funny that happens, knowing some of the stuff here we're going to talk about in a minute, about just the paladin stuff in general. So she she decides that she's got some new info and she wants to be on to bigger and better things. Then what happens after that?
So you go back and tell Velen that he was right all along. They are going to invade. It's imminent. It's bad. So they send you to the Paladins. And, you know, classes working together, that's great. Because the Paladins are also in the light. You know, I've always felt very connected to the Paladins, kind of like brothers and sisters in arms. Except you go there, and the first thing that happens is they tell you, well, you're welcome here, but the High Lord said you better not cause any trouble. I was like, well, I wasn't planning on causing any trouble.
But now that you said it, maybe I will. Or no.
And, well, I was talking about this with my guildmates, and they're like, well, maybe it's because, you know, the Death Knights had visited in their campaign, and the Paladins just let them ride in. They're like, well, last time we let people in, it didn't go well.
Oh, really? Oh, that's cool.
That ended up... Okay, the Death Knight thing is one of my favorite things of this entire expansion. I could understand then why the Paladins would be a little leery of anybody showing up.
And then you go in and you basically tell them that, you know, the demons are going to attack. This is going to be bad. And they debate. And Liadrin goes, we have a tough decision before us. Do we aid the priests in their battle against Balnazar, or do we decline and wait to fight the Dreadlord on our own terms? And it's like, what the hell, Liadrin? You are actually discussing leaving us?
You know what? This is really hard for us. You guys, just give us a minute here to think about it.
That's funny.
You guys can die. We'll just handle it, you know, when they come to us. Thanks. And eventually they do decide, okay, yeah, it's dangerous, but we won't really get a chance to get, okay, thanks guys for thinking of me here. So they say, okay, we will help you. And then you go back to your order hall, and I forget how much longer, you know, it's not very long, but basically you get notice that, okay, the demons are really coming this time. And you go out to go fetch the Paladins, and they're already there. They're like, hey, we knew this was happening. Okay, we're coming in. So they come in, and there's a huge battle in your priest hall. And then, surprise, surprise, while you are in the middle of losing, you see something go past these huge bay windows looking out into space. And then all of a sudden, and this was the really cool part, the part that, you know, really clinched it as a priest for me, is the Army of the Light shows up with Loxraxian, this holy dreadlord sent by Taralion himself to help out you and your friends. Except Lothraxian was, you know, really buddy-buddy with the Paladins, and he ended up going to be their follower instead.
I was
going
to say, he ends up being a Paladin follower, so he comes and helps, but he doesn't, but that's about it. You know?
Yeah, basically everyone's like, we'll come and help, but screw you guys after.
Okay. I was going to ask this a little bit later on, but it just seems appropriate. Does the way that they handle Paladins and priests is it a little crappy? Does it make the story better, or does it make you like annoyed with Paladins? Or
it makes me annoyed with Paladins, and my friends have tons of fun ribbing me about it. It's like, oh, we had to save you guys, and it's fun to joke about it, but it's like I love that classes are working together. This was great. You know, the priests and paladins are very connected because paladins formed from priests. They put on armor to go fight on the front lines. And so I love that they were working together, but I hate the way they did it because we just felt like second class citizens. The paladins had to come babysit us and save us, and we're at the mercy of them, and we're asking them for help. And they're actually talking about possibly not helping us rather than being like, oh, we have to help you guys right now.
So it kind of didn't really help the fact that it, like you're the, I don't know, you ever see the, like in a superhero movie where like where someone's in trouble and another person has to come and bail them out, and they're like, you're kind of never going to live it down at that point.
Pretty much, yeah. All
right, so the Paladins came in, crazy epic battle right there in the middle of the priest temple, fight back the Legion forces. So what, the Paladins just like, do their thing, they leave, thanks, have a nice day?
Pretty much, yeah. They help us out, and then they just kind of fade back and leave. And then you actually go back to... oh, no. You don't go back. Let me find the exact quest. So you defend the temple with the help of the paladins. Velen says, we are united. You know, the prophecy is fulfilled. We defeated a great enemy. Lothraxian says, this was a well-earned victory. I expected nothing less from the heroes of Azeroth. And then Velen says, let us take a moment to rest and restore the temple to its glory. And then that's the basically the end of this little scenario. And then that's when they celebrate. You are the high priest. You are the leader of this conclave. You fulfilled the prophecy. You are the best of all of us. You should lead us. And then Alonzus actually kind of steps down as interim leader, and he becomes one of your followers as well.
And he's cool about it?
Yeah, he's cool about it. It was his idea.
All right, so at that point, I think that's what happens with a lot of the similar with a lot of the class stories is that like, you know, by the time you do the scenario kind of event there at the end, they are all right, you're cool, you're in charge, thank you. What do we do next? So at that point, you take over. I'm guessing when this rolled out originally, all of this is kind of right before Emerald Nightmare was rolled out. Is that right?
Yeah, it was. It was roughly around then. I was trying to find my screenshots of it earlier, but I couldn't quite place it.
Because what I'm getting at, I'm trying to figure out is if some of this stuff is relevant, like the timelines are relevant. So like you kind of take over around the time of Emerald Nightmare. Does that matter in the big picture?
Not too much.
Because honestly, really... I think a lot of the quests and stuff that happened, you know, the stuff that kept sending you back to Azuna was very, I don't know, it kept, like in your quest log, it was saying that it was artifact quest, but I think a lot of it was to do the balance of power, and I don't know if that ended up just being a cosmetic thing for your weapon, or if that was actually part of the story.
Oh, yeah, balance of power. Yeah, it was kind of your first, really, the first time you did anything as the high priest, I guess. You're kind of branching out and investigating, and, you know, it didn't really have anything priest-specific there until the very end, and that was just for Shadow Priest.
So what happened for Shadow Priest then at that point?
I don't know. I was never able to get it to work because I was always healing. And then I switched to Shadow to go in there and kind of see what was going on. But I wonder if
you could do it in LFR now.
I believe you can. Let me see if it has it. She says something to you at the very end.
Or at least I'm sure it's on Wowhead or YouTube.
Yeah. Okay, so when you interact with the remnant of the void, she goes, Omis completely gone, as if it never existed, but the rift is deep and vast, and somewhere down there it stirs. Something has changed. The last prison weakens. We must prepare. Oh, I know what that's talking about. In one of the Lore Watch episodes with Anne and Matt, they talked about how N'Zoth has been corrupting the... Emerald Dream from his sleep. That's what caused the Emerald Nightmare.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And when you kill Xavius, you wake him up.
That's a scary thing.
So now he's awake and even more powerful.
All right, so let's go from there then. Let's go from finishing that up. Where does the actual priest story head from then after you do all that and I guess that's when you get your relic unlocked and you get your, you know, you become the commander in chief and everything's kind of going from there. What's the next major thing?
The next major thing is the mount quest. And that's actually something that really tied back to the heart of being a priest. I know my fellow priest writer, Mitch, would disagree with me because he's Shadow and it didn't have very much Shadow lore, but from the perspective of, you know, being a healing priest, it was amazing. Basically, you get a notification that Magni is here to talk to you, and he's been kind of getting these feelings from Azeroth. And I really enjoyed the quest just because it was clever. The voice actors really made it. Like, I've never had any feelings about Bran Bronzebeard, but he was hilarious in that mount quest, and just the way he's, you know, said stuff. He's kind of kind of giving Magni a little bit of crap about it. And, you know, Magni's like, well, I heard that there's a, you know, I think there's a somewhere we need to go. And he's like, she's telling me feelings. And when you're on this submarine to go find this Titan vault, Bran's like, so she just sort of told you to come here? And he's like, not so much in words, feelings, but not feelings like you or I would have. And he's like, what does that even mean? It's like, well, let's say you're a world soul. What sort of feelings do you suppose you'd have? Sometimes you feel like a crumbling mountain range. Sometimes you feel like the deep dark sea. I don't know. He's like, so she sort of felt at you that you should come here? Maddie goes, felt like a sunrise. It was great.
That's awesome.
Dude, it was hilarious. It was absolutely one of the funniest things I think I've seen so far this through all the stories. Let me back it up one sector though. So you said you were getting onto a submarine to go to a Titan vault. How did that start? Did somebody just like tell you to go, like, hey, go check out this thing? Or
yeah, Magni's here, and he's basically saying that she's been kind of communicating with him, and somehow he divined that she was telling him that there's a lost Titan vault out there near the Maelstrom. So you get in a submarine to go to the Maelstrom.
This whole thing alone was worth any time that I've spent playing my priest.
It was great.
Super, super fun. So just a little nugget for anybody out there who's interested in trying it. I absolutely recommend. Okay, so you get on the submarine, you go out there, you find the vault, and what are you looking for when you get out there?
You have no idea what you're looking for. You go in there and the door's closed and Bran's all excited. He's like, there's a lever somewhere. He can't find a lever. He's running from column to column looking for it. And Magni kind of speaks, you know, Titan at it, and it opens, and your other companion, Beddled Deep Anvil, who's one of who basically controls your kind of little altar where you do your artifact stuff. She's with you and she's like, oh, don't need a lever. And Bran's very disappointed that there was no lover.
Yeah, he likes doing Bran things where he gets to go and fiddle around while you protect him. Yeah.
So you go in and you see three orbs that are covered, and there's a caretaker whose name spells out with word or letters and numbers, Whizbang, and he's lying there. And then Magni gets you to activate the control panels, which makes the caretaker come to life. And Bran, of course, is freaked out because he remembers the last time he encountered a Titan caretaker and it did not end very well.
Right.
And so you start talking to him and Bran starts talking to him and the caretaker just dismisses him. He's like, you're non-essential life form. And Bran is just sputtering. He's like, what do you mean by that? Not essential? Me? You're not essential, you wee little. And then the caretaker turns to Magni, and he seems to know why he's there. He goes, oh, have you come to retrieve the Seekers? We're like, oh, the Seekers? And Magni's like, that's what she wanted us to find. And he uncovers these three flying kind of owl-type griffin creatures that there used to be herds and herds of, and they would whisk the watchers to infested areas to get there faster, and they were protecting Azeroth before, you know, anyone could protect her, but because of attrition and battle, there are only three left, and one of them is clearly holy, one of them is clearly so the holy one is lightsworn, the disciplined one is diligent, and then he gets to the third one, the abyss one, who is has void energies in it. And the caretaker promptly freaks out, talks about sanitation protocol, which causes Bran to freak out. And he's like, okay, we're doing this again. And he's like, what do you mean again? He's like, oh, I'm plenty experienced at this. And that's what causes the sanitation protocol, where the light spawns and the golems and the Titanstone ladies, the sentinels, they start attacking you in waves. And you have to defeat those waves and defeat the sanitation protocol.
So you trigger something that basically wants to cleanse non-essential garbage out, which in that case is you.
Once again, nice. We're used to this kind of thing.
Yeah. We and Bran all go way back doing this kind of stuff.
Yes, we do.
All right. So you clear the waves, and Then what happens?
And then when you clear the waves, the caretaker powers down again. And Buttold goes, you know, these poor creatures don't have anyone to take care of them. What will they do? And then Bagney's like, you can take care of them. That's why she wanted me to come here, because you are the high priest. You are the person to take care of them. And so you talk to Bran so you can go back to your temple. And then when you go back to the temple, the seekers are on the altar and they thank you for your service to the light. And then they offer you a seeker. And I assume it changes depending on what spec you are. I was holy, so I got the gold one.
It does.
And then it comes down and you mount it up and everyone cheers.
So what do you think about this mount?
I liked it because it was very sparkly, and then they had to nerf the sparkles because it was too sparkly.
They nerfed sparkles?
Yeah, they nerfed sparkles.
So which mount is this? Like you said...
Smashed like owlface griffin.
Oh, those? Really? Yeah. I think those look awful, but...
What? Nah, yeah. They're all right.
But at least it's not another...
regular old devil horse with flaming
hair. Yeah, I know. At least it's not another flying horse like the warlocks.
See,
that was disappointing. I only wrote
it so I saw it only from behind. I didn't have to look at its face.
Fair enough.
There were plenty of sparkles from behind.
Wow.
That's funny. That's good. That's good.
There's a show title in there somewhere, but I don't know.
There you go.
It's not very Titan themed. I wrote it for a while just because it was new and shiny, but I stopped writing it because it screeched a lot.
Oh. See, I'm still writing my Warlock one because you can get a purple version and my transmog is purple and it matches my transmog pretty good. So I'm actually still using mine.
Oh, that's perfect.
It is perfect.
So yeah, so you get I think the mount is cool. I think it looks all right. I feel like some of the class mounts are amazing and some of them are just like, I don't know, like somebody was obligated or like they were doing someone's cousin a favor or something. Let them design it. But like, I don't know, this one's okay, I guess.
Nice.
All right. So you get the mount and you head back then. And where are we at then?
That's kind of the end of the pretty specific stuff. We're just kind of waiting until 7.3, and there hasn't really been too much, like, I mean, it's still very early, so there hasn't really been too much class specific stuff, but there are amazing implications for the light and the void that I've seen so far.
So what you're saying is there's probably not a whole lot of spoilers then for any class story on the PTR or anything yet?
Not pre-specific.
So I will go ahead and give... I don't know what, if anything, is going to come up, but I will go ahead and give fair warning to anybody who doesn't want to hear it. But you said there's some implications. Then what... Is there anything that you know or that we can get into that, like, maybe, like, some cool stuff?
Yes. Wowhead data mined some, you know, they've been data mining the voiceovers and the dialogue that's been coming out. And in one of the recent ones, it talks about Illyria. And when they first data mined those NPC models, there was a void version. And in that, in one of their posts on Wowhead, they post the dialogue, and Illyria is actually being tutored in the ways of the void in order to understand that power and help fight against the Burning Legion. And her tutor is very snarky. He doesn't actually have a name. And there are some dialogue options that refer to him and says, yes, I have a name. No, you can't know it. Stop being nosy. And he actually asks her, what would Tyrion think about this? She's like, he knows I have to make the hard decisions.
So she's taking void classes and it's hush hush, I guess?
The tutor kind of tried to act like, you know, what would Tyrion think of this? Like, oh, Tyrion doesn't know what you're doing. But she also kind of implied that he does know a little bit about what she's doing, and that he knows she's he's kind of okay with whatever it takes.
Yeah, the story of this expansion is so good. Like, I think that's what's got me hooked so much.
And she understands that you have to master this power in order to, like, truly defeat. And I found the dialogue. She goes, "What are you talking about?" And the Locust Walker is what he's called. "Why, your mate, of course. How does he feel about your choices? Tyrion trusts me to make hard decisions, and I him. I'm not talking about trust. How can you expect to embrace the shadow with the light shining so brightly at your side?" And she says, "Without the light, there is no shadow, teacher."
That's true. She's got a point.
So good, though. So good.
Yes, it is. See, I need to get through all these classes. I got so much work to do.
So what would you say is your favorite thing about what they've done with the priest and the priest story, this expansion?
I like that we're kind of getting it more into the Naru side of things, even though, like, my priest doesn't really feel connected to it. It is kind of a source of the greater light, the generic light that the humans and the dwarves and gnomes and blood elves follow. And so it's, you know, the light obviously emanates from the Titans and apparently the Naru do too. So it's kind of interesting to get more into that dichotomy between the light and the shadow, because they kind of feel like good twin, bad twin. Without one, there isn't the other type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of, you know, I've been talking about this recently with some of my guildmates, how the shadow priest going full void was kind of weird, and discipline being like between those was kind of weird. And what it would have been better is if, like, shadow was just absence of the light, rather than going crazy old god.
So, like, you're not on board with the whole, like, insanity thing?
Mm-hmm, pretty much.
Yeah, there was a lot of rumbling about that when it first happened. I don't know. It didn't bother me so much, but I definitely understand that. Like, I don't know if it fit from a lore perspective. I didn't really know any better, so just kind of went with it.
Well, that kind of answers... Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, I was going to say you touched on it a little bit, but.
Yeah, what could have been, or in your opinion, what could have been done or been done better for the priest story so far in this expansion?
I wish we felt more important. Like, you know, we felt like we took a backseat to the Paladins in our own campaign. Like, they had to come save us. And in our own campaign, someone defects from our priest order. It's like salt in the wound.
yeah, that's rough.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we're just, you know, second-class Paladins. We're not even that good.
I think, I don't know if you talked about this or not, though. So part of the, I think it was 7.2, when you, the mount and all this, you got another follower. Did you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Now that, she's annoying as heck, and I wish I could meet her, but it's still really cool. So if you want to talk about her a little bit.
Yes. Elthalace, or Elthalaist. I'm not quite sure how to pronounce her name. It's very pretty to look at. I didn't know who she was until I went and looked her up. She, if you played a Forsaken or at least a Horde priest, she was one of the priest trainers in Undercity.
I did not know that. That is super cool.
I did play an undead.
Kind of a nice little throwback.
Yeah, that's cool.
Well, and according to her, you don't have to do this alone.
Yes, I am here to help.
Well, that's like her little catchphrase, and if you have her with you long enough, you will hear that 17,000 times.
Nice.
It's because she doesn't fly, and apparently the same thing happens with the Naga follower for Demon Hunters. They don't fly, so they constantly appear and reappear, and every time they reappear, they talk.
Yes. Yeah, the Demon Hunter one. I'm not even going to do an impression, but she says something about, "I suppose I have time to help you," like, over and over and over and over. And you're like, okay, I get it.
Yeah. Well, the one Warlock one I use is always says, "This is beneath me." And he's out there helping me. So, yeah, there's a few of them.
I was looking for an add-on that you could actually just mute some of the follower sounds, and I found a couple of things that helped, but yeah, for the most part, like, because I know you can do that thing where you toggle, like, whether or not they protect you or whether or not they help you, but it never really worked the way that I wanted it to work. So
yeah, basically
most of the
changes.
Time I just leave it on, and then they just yell at you every time you go anywhere.
So. Yeah,
All right, so that was the we almost missed that. Yeah, so she was, you said she was one of the trainers in Utter City. Mm-hmm. That she I'm noticing that like some of the characters are super cool and some of them are just like you feel like they got dug out of a trash can somewhere. Does she serve like a purpose or is it just like a cool fall?
She's kind of a little cool little throwback. When you go and collect her, she's on the Broken Isles, you know, that little side island, trying to purify the people there, and you save a bunch of them and manage this kind of disease that's rampaging through all of them. And then she's like, well, you are pretty cool, so I will follow you. And then she follows you and never leaves you alone.
And repeatedly tells you that you do not have to do this alone.
And she's here to help.
Nice.
I am here to help.
Good stuff. All right. Well, is there anything else from the pre-story that we need to know that we haven't quite touched on in this expansion?
Nothing really in particular. I guess I wish they could have made us more unified. And even I don't know how I would have done that because they're so distinct. I kind of wish that we had been in an area where we could each have like our own little altars where we could have a distinct little side room for us to hang out, but instead we got this wide open temple that was so annoying to run through, they gave us a continuous buff.
It's not the worst, though. I don't know why some you can mount up in some and not others. I think the paladin one is worse, though. But I don't
know. Yeah.
Yeah.
With all those hallways.
Yep.
The one bonus here is that you won't ever get lost. You can see everything from standing in the center of the room.
I think nice. I feel like maybe that's why I like that one so much. It's just a big open room, and like maybe it's not better than the other ones, but it just feels like you're like, oh, okay, I need to go over there. I can see it.
There's nowhere comfortable to sit. At least other class halls get beds.
I don't think the Demon Hunter one has beds.
Yeah,
nor does the Warlock.
The Warlock has a creepy bed filled with succubi.
Do I? Oh, I gotta go find that now.
It's where
screenshots.
It's where I think Ritzen was being held when you first opened it up. I just leveled up my Warlock.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna go have to look for that now, though.
It's got hangings and everything and succubi all around, and I'm like, what are the implications of this?
Sweet. Oh, I think we know.
All right.
So then I guess one last thing I would ask then before we're done, then what's your hope that happens that's priest specific? What's one thing that you really go, man, I hope they do this with priests?
I kind of hope we delve more into the light and the Titans. Like, I feel very connected with the Titans because they are essentially our gods, and that's where we derive our power from. I mean, they've never really specifically said what the light is, but I don't know, like, I love all the Titan lore, and you know, I hope they just kind of delve more into that. And that's where 7.3 is heading with, you know, the new artifact system where it's got light and shadow paths, and it's just really interesting.
I know that's not priest specific, but now that you bring that up, so some of the 7.3 stuff is there's going to be more artifact power grind and more to the artifact tree. Is that mm-hmm. how I?
It's a new customization, even further than we have right now. It gives you like different paths to follow.
So I'm guessing if there's going to be more of a grind, they're probably going to kick up artifact knowledge again. Then we'll probably go up to level 50.
I believe it's
50. I'm guessing.
Yeah, it appeared, and it looks like it's automatic. It'll automatically go up each week, up to 50.
Oh, so you don't have to go and turn in the order all resources and yeah, I'll take it. Whatever. All right, then was there any other priesty stuff from this expansion that stood out to you or that you thought that maybe would be cool to give a nod to?
No, nothing really entirely priest-specific, but I did find that quest where Zara kind of chastises you, and she goes, I wept when I touched your consciousness to the great dark mortal, for I saw his fall, and I saw you, your shadow, casting a dark pall over his body. I felt hatred in your heart as it corrupted your mind.
Wow.
It was not Light's heart, but you that needed preparation. Now you know the truth. Are you prepared to do what must be done to save your world and all others? His rebirth will be the story of your redemption.
Jeez, man. She doesn't have a ton of priest love there.
She's harsh. She said this to me in the middle of my own order hall.
Wow. All right. So I guess that wraps it up then, hey?
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you haven't already, make sure you come and join the official Training Dummies Discord server at discord.me/TTD. It's the best way to keep in touch and get real-time interaction with us and our community, as well as the awesome guests like Ella Rain you've just heard on the show. That's discord.me/TTD.
It seems fate has brought us together.
You have my gratitude.
We make a great team.
I'm sure glad you're around.
Well, if it ain't my favorite person.
You have your uses, don't you?
You have quite a talent there.
Together, our victory is assured.
Good enough.
Rob, what do you have for shoutouts this week?
I will shout out the raid team. We're kind of coming slowly, but surely. How many bosses are there? Nine?
Seven, yeah. We're at seven.
We're seven. Yeah, we're seven of nine now, and a couple of the bosses suck really bad, and the amount of RNG involved is just super frustrating, but we're doing it, so definitely shout out to them, and super shout out to Ellerine for coming on tonight. Really, really appreciate you helping us kick off this new series. Daryl, what do you got?
I wasn't at the last raid because I was, I was at the lake. That's where I was. But anyway, a big shout out to you guys for getting 7 out of 9. Now I'm looking forward to being there this week and then taking another week off, and then I'll be there from then on until BlizzCon. So a big shout out to you guys. I need to give a shout out. I know they'll never hear this, but I need to give a shout out to Moose Jaw RV and Marine, because on my trip, my trailer blew a leaf spring on the highway. So I was sitting on the highway at 36 degrees Celsius for 3 hours waiting for a flatbed tow truck that was big enough to haul my trailer. And we just kind of dumped it off at the RV place on Sunday because they're closed. And I showed up there first thing Monday morning, and they were able to repair it on Monday and get us back on the road so we could continue our vacation. So a big shout out to them for getting my trailer fixed in one day. So that was huge. And of course to Ella Rain for coming on the show. I know it was a surprise that it was actually 2 years ago that I first talked to you about being a guest on the show. So I'm glad we were finally able to make that happen. Ella Rain, do you have any shout outs this evening?
Well, for one, thank you guys for making this happen. It was pretty cool. First time I've ever been on a podcast. Also give a shout out to my good friend Alancy, who likes to call himself the best priest, even though he played a demon hunter, because he called all the priest lore with the artifacts before they even came out, and he's pretty well versed in lore itself. And then shout out to Blizzard Watch for giving me a platform upon which to talk about how much Sarah hates me.
Perfect.
Nice. Well, before we wrap this episode up, where can people reach you if they have more questions about this topic or anything else?
They can reach me at any time on Twitter. My username is Ellerine, and I'm on Twitter, pretty often. So I always respond there, as well as I do have a monthly Healing Priest column on Blizzard Watch, where I just kind of talk about, what's new for priests, what's going on, and my opinions on how the priest lore is working out.
Awesome. Well, I believe that does it for episode 170 of the Training Dummies. You can find this and past episodes of the show over on iTunes, Stitcher, and thetrainingdummies.com. And remember, we are all just jackasses with mics, so until next time.
It's advice you can trust.
Woo!
From people you shouldn't.
Woo!